kingdom of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Hello and welcome to Pure Home on this Sunday, November the 23rd, with me, Mahtab Yeganefar.
And me, Bahman Rahim.
What makes you happy? What do you do to feel joyful? Do you have to go to a party to feel happy, or like watching a movie?
Happiness is really important in our lives. It helps us keep a balanced life. But what actually makes us happy? Where we get that kind of happiness differs in individuals.
That's right. Some people rely on more outward and physical factors to feel good. Others go inside and they are more introvert and they resort to more spiritual factors. Some people might do anything to feel upbeat. Others do it the right way.
Exactly. Tonight, because the changing of the hours of the program, tonight we're going to discuss happiness in Islam and the importance of the topic and how it really matters, how it's such a significant concept in Islamic culture, despite whatever might be said against it.
Yes, exactly. We want to explore ways of feeling good and feeling happy without crossing the boundaries of religion and Islam. We want to see how we can do it properly.
Exactly. And beside the main topic, we're going to have all sorts of news beats. We're going to have a book to introduce to you and, of course, all sorts of reports and everything.
Okay, let's start the program by doing the first part in the new series of Islamic Lifestyle, entitled Remembrance, God and Death.
Stay with us.
أعوذ من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي ويحيي الأرض بعد موتها وكذلك تخرجون ومن آياته أن خلقكم من تراب ثم إذا أنتم بشر تنتشرون صدق الله العلي العظيم. Have you ever asked yourself why we have fear from the death? What are the main reasons and what are the main problems do we have fear from the death? Let me ask you, what is the reason children have fear? It's very clear because any answer as if I want to find the reason for the fear of death, you know that when the end of a new year, anyone around the world would find a new place for passing his vacation on the holidays of the new year. They would try to find new places. The program for how is that we cannot program for this very important travel that take us to the another world? So, the people are not prepared for this kind of travel. It's natural that they will find a meaning like fear. I want to ask you, have you ever experienced death or not? Yes, we had. Every night when we sleep, we experience the death. Every morning when we wake up, again, we are alive.
Thanks for being with us in tonight's Pure Home. Our guest this week is Dr. Mahmoud Karimi, University Professor, Islamic Scholar, and expert in Islamic studies. Dr. Karimi, thank you very much for joining us in tonight's Pure Home.
Thank you. That's my pleasure.
Thanks for being with us. I'm really happy and excited that we have chosen this important topic for tonight's discussion in our program, because I personally believe that this is something that should have been discussed more often, and but it has unfortunately received less attention than it really deserves, and that is the importance and status of happiness and sort of cheerfulness,
yes,
in Islam. And that has maybe given the impression to people who are not really that familiar with Islam to believe that Islam is a very solemn religion. It's maybe more concerned about mourning occasions than about festivities and happy occasions and cheerfulness. And maybe even some people might believe that Islam should always mournful and be very serene and very sad. It's really good that we're going to talk about it today. But before we move on to Islam's viewpoint on happiness, let us define happiness and see how many types and sorts of happiness there are.
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'd like to say salamun alaikum to all dear viewers. In order to define happiness, we can say that happiness is a product of a certain kind of awareness, feeling. So the feeling or the awareness of certain things can make you happy, especially when you are aware that you have reached your goals, some ultimate goals, and you have reached them. It makes you happy. Or sometimes you've had some needs and you feel that your needs have been met. So that makes you happy. And the feeling that your needs are met, or the feeling that your goals have been achieved, objects have been achieved, this makes you happy. Or even before you reach them, sometimes when you see that it is highly probable that your problem is solved, it is highly probable that your goal is achieved, then it makes you happy. And this is the happiness that you can feel and the satisfaction that you have in this kind of feeling. This makes you happy. But there are different types of happiness, you know, or we can say different levels of happiness. Sometimes our happiness is just physical and material. So the happiness that we get from eating good things and delicious things, the happiness from drinking, the happiness from sleeping, from any kind of, you know, material and physical pleasure that we have, this is the first level. And especially at this level, we can say that most of the time this is a level common with other animals. But there is a second level. The second level is spiritual and internal level of happiness. So when you feel that you are a mother to a good child, so this is not physical, it makes you happy.
Yes.
Or another one feels that he is a father to a child, or he has a good friend, he has a good companion, having a good husband, having a good wife. So this makes one happy. But this happiness is not physical, but it is spiritual. The second, in fact, level, and it is higher than the first level, which was purely physical and material. But the third one, which is exclusively for human beings, and in fact, it is the highest level, we can say, or we can call it, you know, human happiness. Means it is a happiness that is at the level of human being, and other animal creatures cannot.
It's exclusive to us.
It's exclusive to us, yes. Other creatures cannot experience it. So this is, in fact, very important because, so, you know, it makes you distinguished from other animals. So you say that, okay, I'm human being, so I can have this kind of pleasure. For example, when you are learning, when you are sitting with a knowledgeable man, you are sitting with a knowledgeable woman, and you are learning something good from him or from her. So it makes you happy. And when you have, in fact, that knowledge, and you are also teaching your knowledge to another one, it also makes you happy because you feel that this is something peculiarly and exclusively for you. And this is a happiness that others cannot experience it. When you know, helping the needy and the poor, mm-hmm. when you are taking care of the orphan, the sick. So although this is apparently this is something that you are seeing the pains and sufferings of others, but at the same time you feel that, okay, you are helpful to this one and you are solving a problem. This solution or this problem solution makes you happy, and this is what makes us different from other creatures, and we talk about it more in the
And is the happiness you just talked about, is it the same as cheerfulness? Because sometimes we can define happiness maybe interpreted in two ways. Maybe one is the feeling of bliss that we might have in our life, and the other one is the opposite of depression and dejection.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel cheerful. So I think maybe sometimes we might feel the bliss, but we might not be really a cheerful person. We might not be able to, or we fail to feel that cheerful, that upbeat. What's that cheerfulness? That also has internal and external sources.
Yes.
Right?
You know, I think when, for example, when we are just somehow having good relations with great men, with great saints, for example, or you are visiting an imam, you are visiting Imam Reza, for example, Mashhad. So at the beginning, even you may cry, you may weep, but at the same time, at the end of your visiting the shrine, you feel that, okay, a kind of, you know, happiness within you. It means this happiness, in fact, is spiritual happiness, and it makes maybe it is distinguished somehow from some kind of cheerfulness, because at the same time that you are weeping, you are crying, but you feel that the pains, the sufferings, everything are from
the burdens are taken off your
yes,
shoulders.
Yes, the burdens are off. So this happening and this feeling, in fact, it is also of happiness, although some people not understand it. Or in Umrah and in Muharram, people go and, you know, they have their mourning ceremonies. So many people think, okay, these Muslims all the time are
crying,
yes, are crying, are weeping. But this is not the case. In fact, when we are having that kind of relation and that kind of, you know, feeling, it makes us, as you said, in fact, some of the burden, some of the things that we think they are bothering us, now they are. And in fact, the imam or the great man, saint, is helping us
there
at that time. So this spiritual experience also is a kind of happiness that we can experience.
Very good. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to talking about the importance of happiness in Islam. But before that, we have to cross over to Master Nurai, who's standing by with this week's news bits. And if I'm not wrong, you have something about aerobics.
Exactly. Right? Wow, how clever you are. But today I'm going to talk about aerobic exercises. Aerobic exercises in your 20s may protect a brain in middle age, according to a study. Research at the University of Minnesota, Minneapolis, tested almost 3,000 healthy people with an average age of 25. They found about the test of cardiovascular during the study, again, 25 years old, who ran for and thinking smoking, they have health. Stay with us. living in an area with green spaces has a long-lasting positive impact on people's mental well-being. UK researchers found moving to a green space had a sustained positive effect, unlike pay rises or promotions, which only provided a short-term boost. The results indicated that access to good quality urban parks was beneficial to public health. There is evidence that people within an area with green spaces are less stressed, and when you are less stressed, you make more sensible decisions and communicate better, make better judgments overall. The findings appear in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. We all know that this is not the magic that cures all problems, but it may be just a factor that helps take the balance of life towards making more sensible decisions and having more adult conversations. Today, this is the news we've got for now. Let's move on to the second episode of Islamic Lifestyle, which is like God and Death.
In the hereafter, we are asked about our deeds. Maybe we say, God, we were neglected from our death. The answer is that you saw your friends, your parents, your children, anybody who died before you. That's a new sample and a good signal for you to be prepared and ready for death. That's why that we are recommended by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, and also Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, that any believer should remember death six times in a day. Of course, again, we are recommended when you participate in a funeral ceremony of somebody, your friend, your parents, anybody, suppose yourself that you are slept in the coffin. That will bring you a good preparedness for the death. I want to give you a very short story, but I hope that it be useful for you. Sometime in the period of Moses, people at the time asked the prophet, asked God, that there would not be any die and any death for our tribe. The Moses and God removed death from this tribe. What was happened? All of the elders and old women and old men, they were living with their children, and that the new life, the natural life, was out and far from the families, and it was very hard to have a good and sweet life for them. That was why, again, they asked the prophet, okay, that's okay. You better ask God again to put the death for us. Means that death is a gift of God, and there's no reason to be frightened from the death.
Watching Pure Home coming to you live from our studio in Tehran today. Tonight, talking about happiness, its significance in our life, and particularly its significance in Islam. It goes without a saying that happiness is very important to us. We all need it. I don't think we can argue against that. But we are going to talk about more significant, particularly about the importance of happiness in Islam and. In the viewpoint of Islam, with me here in the studio is Dr. Mahmoud Karimi, an Islamic expert. Dr. Karimi, what is Islam's viewpoint on happiness? Is it allowed? Is it, you know, condoned or encouraged? What's that?
Yes, we can say that happiness in Islam is not only allowed, but is recommended, highly recommended. There is a hadith from our seventh Imam, Imam Kazim. He says that every believer and every believing man should divide his time, his life, and his days into four periods. One period for communicating with God, whispering with God, and having good relations with his God. The second period is for making a living. So have a job and make money and, in fact, manage his familial affairs. And the third is associating with good people, associating with good brothers and good sisters. So when them, in fact, they can remind him of his good things, and also they can remind him of if he has any, you know, flaws, if he has any imperfections, then they can mention him and he can reform himself, he can correct his behavior. This is the third. And the fourth thing which is important here is the pleasure. So means the fourth period that every believing man should devote for himself and should plan for it is that he should have some time for enjoying himself. He should have some time
for leisure.
For leisure, yes. And then important is that when he mentions the fourth period, Imam says that with the help of this period, one is able to satisfy his needs in the rest of three periods. So it means that if you are not happy in your life, if you do not create a kind of happiness and pleasure for yourself and your family in your life, then what happens? You are not able even to have a good communication with God. You are not even able to have a good worship. You are not able to serve people in a good way, to have good behavior to your family. So all this depends on the fourth period.
The fourth one.
Yeah, the fourth
leisure
one.
Leisure time
and
time that, to unwind.
Yeah, that makes you perfect in other things. So if you are seeking for perfection, that perfection doesn't come through the fourth period. Now, this is for every individual. So one duty that, okay, I as an individual should do it. You as an individual also should perform it. Everybody. But so for ourselves, so we should have a plan for ourselves. But what about our program and our duty for people? Yes. Do we have any obligation toward making other people happy? Yes. Islam doesn't say that, okay, you as an individual should have a period of your life and a period of your time for happiness, but you are recommended, and in fact, you must make other people happy.
True.
Yeah. And this to the extent that the Holy Prophet says, the most beloved thing and the most beloved deeds for Allah is making other people happy. So it means that whatever and whatever righteous thing you suppose, if you are creating happiness for other people, if you are creating opportunity for other people to be happy, if you are providing environments for happiness, that would make you more righteous, and that would make your deed and your thing, in fact, the most beloved before God. And yes, this also shows the significance of happiness and the duty that we have for happiness of other people. Okay, so now suppose that if in a Muslim community, every individual has periods, and one of the periods is to have a leisure time and a time for himself, and also he is somehow, you know, he has some duty toward other people, also to make other people happy. If all Muslims are this way, and doing this way, or if not only all Muslims, but just majority of Muslims, half of Muslims do that, what happens? We would have a very happy society.
Exactly.
We would have a perfect society.
That there would function better, that would work better, that would, you know, live better, you know, more productively.
Yes.
Because they have high spirits, they're happy, cheerful.
Yes, because it would make, in fact, your rest a better rest. It would make your job and your professions, better professions, at the time that you are free, so you know how to fill the your free time and the free time of other people. So everybody would enjoy himself, and this whole society also would be a happy society. So this is the point of Islam, and this is what Islam expects us as individuals and also as the Muslim society to achieve it and to realize it.
Very good. Thank you very much. I think Mr. Nuray, who's also here, have an email question regarding the very subject that we are discussing tonight.
Exactly. I found this really wonderful email from Mazi from England. He said, "Alaikum, some people believe in the correct religion. No place for Islam. Please, what is Islam's view? We've got Mr. Wright with us in the studio. So please, pleasure to have him."
Yes. You know, people, as I said, not only the Islam religion, but even in Judaism and other religions, that, okay, religion makes people limited, and therefore, out of this limitation, they cannot enjoy yourself.
Right.
They do not have any good time. They do not have any pleasing time. But religion, and especially Islam, recommends happiness. You know, in the Holy Quran, we read that Allah has forbidden any beauty for you. Allah has not forbidden any good thing for you. So it means that the good things, the pleasing things, the things that make you happy, so whether from material things like food, clothing, other things, are allowed and are prescribed in Islam. But on the condition that they are, you know, achieved in a legitimate way. Yes, that is the only limitation. Okay, if this is legitimate, if this is lawful, if it is the result of your own effort, so it is good for you and you can enjoy it. At the same time, but religion and all religions and Islam would make us familiar with some, you know, higher pleasure and some higher levels of happiness. They say not only this worldly and material happiness is allowed for you and God has made it for you. You know, God says that I have created all the heavens and earth and the creatures in this world for you as human being.
Right.
Nothing forbidden to you. All this for you. So there was not human being.
Okay.
The whole world was not created. So it means that all the world, with all its pleasures, with all its enjoyment, are for man. And are for a believing man, in fact. And even if believers are using it, and if unbelievers are enjoying it, it is, in fact, because believers are there. If some believing men and believing men were not there, God would not allow the unbelievers to use them. Because this is for human beings, and God has expected human beings to be believers.
Very good. And happy believers. And
happy believers, yes. Happy believers. Because when they are happy, in fact, they not only can serve their own themselves, their own family, they can also serve a better society.
Obviously.
Yes. This is, but as I said, Islam wants to make us familiar with higher pleasures. So what is the value of pleasure? In what is the criteria for measuring happiness in this world? You know, the material happiness that you have a luxurious house.
Yeah.
The value of your happiness is the value of this house. Not more than that.
Yeah.
You have a luxurious car. Value of your happiness from this car is what? Is the value of this car.
And nothing above it.
Nothing above it, yes. But if you are sitting, if you are communicating and associating with a knowledgeable man all the time, and he is adding knowledge to you, and he is answering all your questions, the happiness and the pleasure that you get,
it's endless.
It's endless.
Yeah.
Yes. You cannot say, okay, what is the cost of that? What is the price of that? Mm-hmm. If you have good relations and intimacy with God, It means that the amount and the measure of your happiness,
okay,
is what? Is the value of your happiness is the value of God.
All right.
Yes. So it means that the value of happiness depends on the value of your beloved ones.
That's true.
What is your beloved? Islam says that, okay, you should benefit from and enjoy these material things, but these beloved things are not, you know, do not deserve you.
I see,
And you deserve more than that.
Thank you so much, Doctor. Hold that thought because Mr. Gonavai is going to continue with that.
Okay.
Stay with me for now because I've got some wonderful book to introduce to you. Back, you're watching Pure Home, following Mohammed, Rethinking His Contemporary World by Carl W. Ernst is the book I'm going to introduce to you today. Tonight again, you know, the mixture of GMT times. This book introduces readers to the profound spiritual resources of Islam while clarifying diversity and debate within the tradition. He describes how Protestant definitions of religion and anti-Muslim prejudice have affected views of Islam in Europe and America. Ernst also covers the contemporary importance of Islam in both its traditional settings and its new locations, and provides a context understanding extremist movements like fundamentalism. He concludes with an overview of critical debates on important contemporary issues such as gender, veiling, state politics, and science and religion. I hope you enjoy reading it. By the way, this book has been translated to like 70 languages in the world. One of them is Persian. It has been done by my father, Hassan Nouri. I hope you enjoy reading this book. Go on and leave the studio to Mr. Gonafa, of course, after watching that part of the God and Death Remembrance.
The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progenies, taught us that the benefits of three things continued after death. The scripture, the building and construction, and the children. It means that we should pay attention to what we write for the others, vice or virtue. We should pay attention to our children. How do we treat them? How do we behave with them? We should pay attention to what we construct. Hospital as a school for the other people after us, and how can they use from this buildings or construction. The important thing is that we should be aware not to be neglected of the awareness of God. We should be aware that God is present in all of the seconds of our life. In a verse of Quran, it says that وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرَ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا قَرِينًا. Means that if just a second you neglect the presence of God, the Satan will be replaced the place of remembrance of God. So we should be aware not to be forget and not to be neglected, just a second to remember God in all of the seconds of a life. When we will be asked about our youth, will we say the things we don't truth? Will our diplomas or degrees come in use, or will they bring us bad news? We blamed Islam for education and got it into non-Islamic generation. The friends we trusted with whom we had fun stopped us from entering the gates of heaven. The requirements are simple. the reward is high. Be prepared, think well before you die. A garden of paradise or a pit of hell, the choice is yours, so think well. Sacrifice your short journey here, for in the hereafter you will have no fear. Two shoes of boiling fire he will wear, his brain will melt, his body will tear. The person will scream and will not know, this is not only the lowest punishment Allah will give. Day by day as our life decreases, day by day as our sins increases, day by day as our deeds change into sins, another day the shaitan wins. For one that day, when will be scaled, think will we win or will we fail? God bless you.
You are watching Pure Home. We are talking about the importance of happiness in Islam. Unfortunately, we have reached the final moments of the program. So I'm going to ask our dear guest, Islamic scholar and expert, Dr. Mahmoud Karimi, to give us his final thoughts on the subject. And hopefully, we can do a follow-up on this very important topic.
Inshallah. Yes, in fact, as human beings, you know, we are free. And I think that in terms of happiness also, we should benefit from our freedom in a way that we prefer the kind of happiness which is, you know, more lasting, which is higher quality, and which is bigger than those happiness and those instances of happiness which are short-lasting and which are somehow small and physical and, yes, something that is low quality. So this is the way that first we should know what is the real pleasure, what is the high quality pleasure and happiness, and then to choose them in order to live a good life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Karimi. Welcome. It was a pleasure to have you with us again tonight, and thank you for being with us tonight. Hope you enjoyed our discussion, learned from it, and hope you make a change in your life, even small, and live more happily and more cheerfully from this very moment. Thanks for being with us, and until next time, it's goodbye from me.
Yeah, God has created you free and God has given you liberty. Use it in a happy way, and of course make it legitimate happiness, and always enjoy it, long-lasting happiness. Remember to stay in touch with us. We really appreciate your comments and views. Remember, it's purehome@sahatv.com and at sahatv.ir, and we have facebook.com/purehome.sahatv. Stay in touch with us. See you next week.